And he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children or wannabe children come forward? There's one. Good morning. How are you doing today? And you? Like always? Is that a good thing? Okay. As long as things are going well for you. We have a holiday coming up this week. Right? What is it? Thanksgiving. What did we do on Thanksgiving? Okay, be thankful for things. Your answer was eat a turkey. Okay. But not the ones we have outside. I'm not getting a wholehearted no. So we eat turkey and we are thankful for things. Are you going to be spending time with family or friends? Okay, who are you going to be spending Thanksgiving with? All your grandma and grandpas? Okay. Are they coming here or are you going there? They're coming here. You're going to have quite a house by then. And how about you? Okay, where do they live? In South Dakota. So what do you plan to do other than eating turkey?
Have a party.
Okay. You know that you're having a party? You do now, okay. And you said something about being thankful. How are you thankful? I'm giving thanks, and how do you do that? Okay. How about you? How are you thankful? Okay, you're thankful for all the things that the Lord has given you. Before you eat that turkey and everything else, do you ever say grace?
turkeys? Okay. Is it the sort of prayer that my father-in-law used to say? His was, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. That's what your sister likes. Okay. Do you know this? Yes. Anytime he did rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, my mother-in-law would look at him and say, let's say a better prayer. That's what your mom says. Okay, so they're at least on the same page. When you do pray before you eat, do you thank the cook or the person who the farmers, or who are you thanking? You're thanking God. Okay, why are you thanking God? Okay, because he gave, yeah, that's true. He gave us the seeds, he gave us the turkeys, he gave us everything, right? Okay, how about the rest of you? Do you pray before you eat? Does your prayer sound like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grab, or do you get a little bit more elaborate than that? What are you thankful for? Any of you? Family, okay. Anyone else?
Life.
Okay, that's a good one.
Friends.
What was that? Your home. Okay, friends who were here and those who were gone. Memories that we have.
My spouse.
Your spouse, yes. 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 I think he's a keeper. And is Thanksgiving Day the only time that we remember everything that we've been given? I would hope it isn't, right? Christmas. Okay, holidays. How about the rest of you? Christmas, Easter, holidays, is that the only time that you remember to give thanks?
Every day.
Every day, I hope we think about that. I know when I wake up in the morning, I try to make the first thing I say, instead of good morning, Alexa, so that I get my news, I try to make it thank you, God. And then good morning, Alexa, so that I get my news. But to remember to thank God that I woke up, and then to be grateful for everything else. Be grateful for how well my body works. I realize it doesn't work quite so well when something goes wrong with it, when my knee hurts, when something else hurts. But for the rest of the time, it seems to work pretty well. I'm really thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my family, even though they're far away. And there's so many things I can look out to the whole world and be thankful for the mountains and thankful even for the turkeys that got in my way this morning as I tried to drive to church. So let's pause for a moment right now and just be thankful to God. A good and gracious God, we pause right this moment to give you thanks and to praise you for the many blessings that we've received. And help us to remember you not just on Thanksgiving, but to remember you every day, and to be grateful for the many blessings that we've received, to be truly thankful. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think the best way to start a sermon today is by looking at some of what we have been discussing the last few weeks. We've had occasions when people have come to Jesus seeking to trip him up by asking questions. One of those questions was, is it lawful to pay taxes? And Jesus responded, well, show me the coin that you used to pay the taxes. Do you remember whose image was on that coin? And he said, and so give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God? Everything. Then he had someone who was quite knowledgeable in the law come up to him and ask, What is the greatest commandment? Very possibly expecting him to say, well, all of them are just equally good. I can't choose one. But no, Jesus says what? He says, the first commandment is to love God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole being, with everything that you are. And there's another commandment as well, which is love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. He's saying this summarizes everything. Love God completely and love your neighbor. That's really how you show your love for God, is how you love your neighbor. And then last week, we had the story of the five wise and the five foolish bridesmaids. If you remember, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come so that they could light his way into the hall and the party could begin. And then what happened? The bridegroom did not show up when they expected him to. He was delayed. And so they waited, and they waited, and they fell asleep. And at midnight, the cry goes out that the bridegroom has finally come. And the wise ones, who made sure that they had an extra supply of oil, filled up their lamps. And the foolish ones looked at them and said, well, let us have a share of your oil. And they said, there won't be enough for all of us. Go out and buy some more. And as they were out buying oil, the bridegroom came. The ones who were prepared had their lamps lit, escorted the bridegroom into the hall, and the doors were locked. And those who were not prepared knocked on the door later, let us in, let us in, but it was too late. And in today's message, we also have a story about someone going away. The master goes away and entrusts his belongings to his three slaves. He entrusts them according to their ability. That means they have ability. And when we're talking about talents, we're talking about huge amounts of money. This is not just, you know, hang on to $100, $1,000. A talent is like 20 years worth of wages. So even one talent is a huge amount of money. And so he gives to one talent, another two talents, another five talents, and he goes away. And he entrusts this money to them, expecting them to do something with it according to their abilities. He's expecting them to do with that money what he would do with that money. And two of them do that. Two of them go out, they make investments, they make a profit. They double what their master entrusted to them. And when he comes home at last, they're able to go to their master and say, see what I was able to do with what you entrusted to me. I've been able to double it. And he looks at them and he says, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then there is the other slave, the one who is fearful of the master. And he took that talent and he buried it in the ground. Well, it kept it safe, right? Well, what would have happened, after all, if he'd taken that huge amount of money and gone and purchased some camels and tried to start up a business that way and it all failed? What would the master have said? Well, he couldn't risk that, could he? Because the master, in the way he looks at things, this master is a harsh man. This master is one who reaps where he doesn't sow. the best thing he can think of is just to bury the talent where it's going to be safe. Sounds reasonable. Risk-free. Nothing's going to happen to it. But what happens when the master finally comes home? And that third slave says, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter, and I was afraid. And so I went and hid your talent in the ground, and so here's your property back." He seems to be expecting praise for protecting his master's property. And that's not what he hears. He does not hear words of praise. He hears, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew I did not reap you knew I reap where I do not sow, and that I gather what I do not scatter. And so you should have invested my money in a bank, and I should have received at least my money back plus interest." And so take that away from him, give it to the other, and throw this one out into utter outer darkness. And that third slave is probably wondering, "Well, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with being cautious with what's been entrusted to me? What's wrong with not taking a risk?" But the master is expecting that you do something with what's been given to you. And I think one of the problems here is the way that these people treat the master, the way that they look at the master. The first two seem to believe that the master is a reasonable individual who's entrusted them with an enormous amount of property. And they want to emulate the master. And they do. They go out and do just what the master would do. And they make a profit. And the third, out of fear, does nothing. Nothing at all. We're told that the master gave to each according to his ability. So that means that that third one had an ability to do something. And he didn't do it. And he didn't do it because of fear. I think he had a wrong way of looking at the master. I want to believe that if he'd invested that talent and lost money, that the master would have at least looked at him and said, "You tried." So often when we look at this parable, we want to talk about human talents. And I think that's a valid way of looking at it. Or we can look at it as how we have had things entrusted to us, each according to his or her ability. Jesus is telling this parable because he knows he's going to be going away. He's trying to instruct the disciples to be prepared for the day and the hour, not knowing when it will be, to be prepared for delay, and to be prepared to account for what they have done during the time that he's gone. And he's entrusted so many things to us. But what is the greatest thing he's entrusted to us? He's entrusted to us the gospel, the message of God's love, God's desire to redeem the world. And look at Jesus. Was Jesus a risk taker? Or did he play it safe? He was a risk taker. Absolutely. Look at how he handled those people who came to him, asking him questions, trying to trip him up. Look at how he left behind everything, his home, his family, to spread the news, that good news of salvation. Look at how he taught his disciples to do what he did. look at what he did for us. If that's not taking a risk, I don't know what is. To suffer, to die on a cross, an instrument of torture for us. How much more risk could he take? And look what happened as a result of that risk. He bought for us salvation. He rose again on the third day. He's given us the hope of eternal life. And so what do we do with what's been entrusted to us? What do we do with this good news? Can we be risk takers and spread that message to others? When the time comes for us to give an account of what has been entrusted to us, what do we want God to say to us? I would like God to say to each of us, well done, good and trustworthy slave. Amen. I'm going to invite Chris Johns to come forward and explain what we have for you.
Just like every year, the last 2-3 years, we as a congregation have been blessed by this Nels Nielsen fund. And every year we get to take a vote as a congregation. So this ties in really well with today's sermon, except there's actually little to no risk to us. All we have to do is risk a paper cut and a pencil stab. Because what we need to do is just vote on two. Each one of us, as a member here today, will vote on two items, and as a church, we distribute money. The kids voted on theirs. We give them $500 every year, and on Wednesday, they got to vote on theirs. The results are tallied. Off the top of my head, I can't remember where they're all going, and the kids enjoy doing that, and hopefully we get to enjoy it too. Most of these are pretty self-explanatory. I had to have one explained to me, so I did put down that the Buffalo Community Outreach is the old Habitat for Humanities. But every single one of these does accept donations, and this is a way for us to spread God's word and be philanthropic in a swoop without much effort. So vote for two, put them in the money collection plate, and we will get them tallied and the money is distributed as part of our Friendsgiving / Thanksgiving message. So thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for that explanation. So let's just take a few moments and choose two. I'm grateful that someone I never had the opportunity to meet gave us this fund that we've been able to invest so that we are able to give back to the community and to the wider world. And as you finish up, please stand as you're able. We're going to sing our hymn of the day, which is Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. It talks about our hope and expectation for the coming of the Lord. Thank you. Let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways, that we may use our talents to glorify you and encourage our neighbor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet. Protect farmlands and harvests. Direct all people in wise stewardship of all the earth's resources. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
You call us to honesty and integrity. Instill these values in the hearts of all nations and their leaders. Free any who are oppressed. Expose all corruption. And bring redemption to victims of injustice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing. Where there is loneliness, reveal your love and community. We remember before you, especially today, those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We pray for the faith formation ministries of our church. Give to all children, youth, and adults who study your word the breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations. For the promise of life and rest and for the witness of those who have died in faith, especially Erlene and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For all these, we praise your goodness. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Please also remember to put your votes in the collection plate. Thank you.
gifts,
that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the witness of your saints, you show us the hope of our calling and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with them in glory. And so with all the saints, with the choirs of angels and all the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Thy kingdom come, thy